More than anything, the news is designed to keep us reading, critiquing, analyzing, glued to our computers or television or living room chairs. If you follow politics, then you have likely been riveted by, or at least aware of, the dramatics of our presidential election this year. By all accounts, there are unusual and likely unprecedented events occurring, particularly for the Republican Party, as the apparent frontrunner lacks support from party leadership. Many of us will be watching closely to see what will happen at the GOP convention in July. For the Democrats, heated disagreements between the supporters of the two candidates have brought into question whether the party will remain cohesive once a nominee is elected. If you're like me, you like reading about these things. If you're like me, you spend a considerable amount of time each day reading about these things, because if you're like me, it's easy to read about these things. I have access to the internet through my phone, my computer. I work on a laptop and a desktop, sort of depending on what I feel like, and my iPad, which is the device I sit down with when I want to relax. I have access to the internet all day long, and if I don't have access to the internet, it's because something is wrong. Something is broken or not working right, or I accidentally left my phone at home. So this sermon is about finding the right balance of accessing all that the internet has to offer: connection, information, news, entertainment, without letting that access become all-consuming. There will be those among you who are not online much, but I hope no matter your age or technical abilities that you do have internet access, even if it's a technology you're not completely comfortable with. There is so much important information at our fingertips through the internet, and Facebook is a wonderful way to maintain connections with friends and family of different generations and locations. So there's so much available to us, even with the dangers. I am encouraging you this month to track the amount of time you spend each day in front of a screen, computer, telephone, television, and consider if you want to reduce that time. One of our congregants over the age of 80 has been doing this tracking and has discovered that she spends, to her surprise, over an hour each day on the computer. And one day in particular, she spent 4 hours on the computer. So this is someone who doesn't like being on the computer. The tracking helped her realize she was spending more time than she thought. So even if you think you don't spend much time online, I just invite you to use this month to pay attention. You might be surprised by what you find. The challenge these days, I think, is that activities that used to be separate are now intertwined. The internet and social media does what for us? At least these 7 things: connection, news, information, entertainment, work, inspiration, and even errands. Connection to other people, sometimes people we know in real life, sometimes people we only know online. News, what's happening in the world, locally and globally. If you're on Twitter, you can sort of watch the news as it's happening, as people post about what they're witnessing. Information, recipes, what time the library opens, where is the closest 24-hour pharmacy. Entertainment, we watch movies and television online, listen to music, read books, watch cat videos, or dog videos or baby videos, your video of preference. Work, many of you are on the computer most of your work time. Inspiration, we can visit museums online, see and read about places we cannot easily and affordably travel. You can listen to sermons online. And errands, many of us bank online. We shop online, we can order groceries and medications. We can even have consultation with a doctor online. I've done that, didn't have to go in. These activities used to be largely distinct from one another. Have dinner with friends, read the newspaper, work in an office. Of course, there was some overlap. We made friends with coworkers. The newspaper brings not just news, but information and entertainment. But now more than ever, access to one activity brings with it access to all the activities. So I get onto Facebook to connect with my friends and family. Maybe I get on specifically one morning to see if there's an update from my aunt who has a cancer diagnosis. But when I log on, the first thing I read is a friend sharing an article about a recent primary election. Or I see a video of a baby laughing. Who doesn't stop to watch a video of a baby laughing? Or I see another friend posting about a great new meal delivery service, and so I stop to check that out. Maybe I want that meal delivery service. I might be on Facebook for an hour before I remember that I came on to check about my aunt. We in this room can share dozens of stories like that. And they aren't all centered on Facebook. It can start with checking email or getting online to order a book, just opening the computer. We get online to do one thing, and the next thing you know, we're doing multiple other things. I'm talking a lot about the computer, but I want to point out this is true of television as well, and particularly for our older congregants to be aware, there are so many really fear-mongering commercials about reverse mortgages and how you're going to pay for your funeral. And so TV is another place where we're being sort of assaulted by the information that we didn't come there for. So this happens in all kinds of media. It's not just a coincidence that everything is available to us all at once. It's deliberate. The news, for example, the headlines that are so riveting, they're designed to attract us, to keep us stirred up, fearful or angry or upset. The great political realities show that many of us have been watching these many months. Our fear and anger is fed by media that wants to keep us fearful and angry and reading their articles, clicking. They are selling something one way or another, and we are buying, many of us. The reality is, and the election's not over by a long shot, there's much still to happen. I'm not saying I know what's going to happen, but the reality to this point in time is that the candidate getting the most votes is a status quo candidate who mostly plans to continue the work of President Barack Obama. That's not very exciting. Those aren't the headlines we've been reading. It's not sexy or provocative, and it doesn't keep most of us very afraid or angry. Many people think things are fine is not a compelling headline. Our news isn't just news anymore, it's entertainment. It's also connection. We like to share the things we're reading and hear what other people think. But here's what we really need to be aware of, and this is why our exposure to media is part of our voluntary simplicity work. All these things the internet brings, news, information, entertainment, connection, they can be wonderful, but they can also be distracting. Distracting you from what? Distracting you from whatever it is that you are missing in your life. Rest, leisure, creativity, mindfulness, time with your children or grandchildren, real life friendships, distraction from the ways we might make an influence in local politics or our local community. Distraction that keeps us at home instead of out in the world working for change. Reflecting on how she uses Facebook, blogger Adrienne Marie Brown writes, "Facebook is much more personal. When it's good, it's so good. When it's bad, it's so toxic and numbing. After experimenting, she arrives at a basic practice of spending 15 minutes a day on Facebook. She notes that that amount of time allows her to see what's of interest and share some things without getting and feeling lost. 15 minutes a day. When she feels like she might be spending too much time, she asks herself these three questions. These are great questions to use anytime you are evaluating if what you're doing is appropriate, is mindful, is a choice. Do I need this right now? Am I avoiding something, a feeling, a deadline, a longing? What do I choose right now? I love that question, am I avoiding something? It's a great question. Because distraction can be good. We need to laugh, to relax, to enjoy silliness, to take a break from our troubles. And distraction can be bad, can be numbing, keeping us apart, keeping us from important self-reflection and self-awareness. We do that sometimes when we are experiencing unhappy feelings, don't we? We're feeling grief, fear, anxiety, an unhappy truth we don't want to face. Instead of facing these difficult emotions, we suppress them. And we try to keep ourselves so busy that we will never feel those unpleasant emotions. Just keep working, keep reading. The result is that we make ourselves frantic in an effort to keep ourselves numb. And for all that effort, it doesn't really work anyway. The emotions still come. Do I need this right now? Am I avoiding something? What do I choose right now? As with all our work for voluntary simplicity, the invitation is to be mindful, to demonstrate an intention and choice. Sometimes the choice may be to sit back with your phone or iPad and play games or look at fashion or read about TV shows. Good distraction is okay. Most of us need more play and rest and leisure. But sometimes the choice may be to turn off your device and sit outside listening to the birds for a while, or to have coffee with a friend, or to read an old-fashioned hard copy book. Because most of us need more play and rest and leisure, and somehow time on the computer doesn't often lead us to feeling rested and grounded and centered. In addition to tracking your time, or if you know you want to reduce the time you spend in front of a screen, you might try setting a time limit for yourself each time you sit down with a device. And most of our devices have timers right on them, so it's very convenient. Ask those questions. What do I need right now? What do I choose? If I need connection and choose to go on Facebook, I can decide up front that I want to spend 30 minutes on that and set my timer. That's one way to be mindful, to be intentional. The blessings of the internet are many: connection, news, information, entertainment, work, inspiration, errands, all at our fingertips. It's amazing. We live in an amazing time. But as with all technologies, we need to learn to use it appropriately. Technology run amok is the basis of many a horror story, right? The computers come alive and take over, machines taking over. We are right to be scared of that. Technology only benefits us when we are in control. Not the ones being controlled, not the ones who are out of control. Do I need this right now? Am I avoiding something? What do I choose right now? May these questions bring intention and choice into your day. May these questions bring simplicity into confusion. May these questions bring mindfulness to our use of technologies. May it be so. Amen and blessed be.